No, you'd better become a mason. That's really something, and that's what I'm going to be. That is a position. Then you belong to a guild and become a citizen. Have a banner of your own and your own quarters at the inn. Yes, and if things come out well, I may get to be a master and have workmen under me, and my wife will be known as the master's wife. That will be something. That's nothing at all, said the third. Just think how many different classes there are in a town far above a master mason. You may be an honest man, but even as a master, you'll only be what is called common. No, I know something better than that. I'll be an architect. We'll live among the thinkers, the artists. I'll raise myself up to the intellectual aristocracy. Of course, I may have to begin at the bottom. Yes, I might as well say it. I will have to start as a carpenter's boy wearing a cap, though I'm used to wearing a silk hat, and to fetch beer and spirits for the simple workmen and listen to their insults. Of course that's irritating, but I'll try to pretend it's only a masquerade. Tomorrow, I'll say, when I'm a journeyman, I'll be on my own course, and I'll have nothing to do with the others. Yes, I'll go to the academy, learn to draw and get to be an architect. That is something. That's a whole lot. I may even get a title. Yes, have one placed before or after my name, and I shall build and build, as others have done before me. Yes, that's something one can rely on. It's something wholly worthwhile. But something that I care nothing about, said the fourth. I shouldn't care to travel on and on in the beaten track, to be only a copyist. I want to be a genius, cleverer than all of you put together. I want to create a new style. Provide the idea for a building suitable to the climate and materials of our country, our national character, and the development of our age. Besides, I want to build an extra floor for my own genius. But suppose the climate and materials aren't good, said the fifth. That will be very unfortunate, since they are of vital importance. As for our national character, to represent that in architecture would be sheer affectation, while the requirements of modern times may cause you to run wild, as youth frequently does. I can see that none of you will ever amount to anything, however much you yourselves think you will. But do as you like. I won't be like you. I shall consider what you do. There's something ridiculous in everything. I'll discover it, and it will be my business to expose it. That will be something. He did as he promised, and people said of this fifth brother, there's something in him, certainly. He has plenty of brains, but he doesn't do anything. But it was just that which made him something. This is only a little story, and yet as long as the world exists, it will have no end. But then, did nothing more become of the five brothers? Listen further now, and you will hear the whole story. The eldest brother, the brickmaker, found that every brick he made brought him in a small copper coin. It was only copper, but enough of these small copper coins added together could be changed into a bright dollar. And wherever he knocked with this, at the butcher's, the baker's, or the tailor's, yes, everywhere, the door flew open, and he was given what he wanted. That was the virtue of his bricks. Of course, some of them crumbled or broken too. But a use was found even for them. You see, old Mother Margaret wanted so much to build herself a little house up by the dike, so all the broken bricks were given to her, and even a few whole ones too, for though he was only a brickmaker, the eldest brother had a generous heart. The poor woman built her house with her own hands. It was very narrow. Its one window was all lopsided, the door was too low, and the thatching might have been laid on the roof more skillfully. But it gave her shelter and a home and could be seen from far out at sea. The sea in all its power sometimes broke over the dike and sprinkled a salty shower over the little house, which still stood there years after he who made its bricks was dead and gone. As for the second brother, yes, he could now build in a different fashion, as he had decided to learn. When he had served his apprenticeship, he buckled on his knapsack and started out on his travels, singing as he went. When he came back to his hometown, he became a master mason there, and built house after house, a whole street of houses. There they stood, looking very handsome and giving an air of dignity to the town. And these houses soon built him a little house for himself. But how can houses build a house? If you ask the houses, they will give you no answer. But the people will reply, "Why, of course, the street built him his house." It was not very large, and had only a clay floor, but when he and his young bride danced over it, that floor became as smooth as if it had been polished, and from every stone in the wall sprung a flower, gay as the costliest tapestry. It was a charming house, and they were indeed a happily married couple. The banner of the Masons' Guild waved gaily out.